Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Forgot the mic here, so we can do it this way. A couple weeks ago, we looked at some different passages having to do with the theme of getting the good news. And I want to continue that idea with thinking about our response to the good news. Maybe if some of you enjoy shopping, you get excited when you get one of these, right? And this would be a coupon of sorts. This one happens to be to Sears and Kmart. And this one has $20 back in points when you spend $20 at Sears or Kmart. That's always nice when you can get a discount like that. And the thing about using a coupon at a store is you have to use it the way they want you to use it. A couple weeks ago, my wife had a coupon to a store, and it was a good deal, and she went to go use it, and it didn't apply that day. And so you look at the fine print, all right? It doesn't work on this day. Oh, that's so disappointing. And, sometimes you can get some great benefits, some great deals if you use the coupon. And so it is with the good news. God has given to us some great benefits in the good news of the gospel. Forgiveness of sin. A home in heaven. But when we see the scriptures, we see that we must use those benefits, take a hold of those benefits, using the right conditions, using the proper terms and conditions which God has stated for us. God offers them for us openly and freely to be used, but he wants us to know the conditions. Salvation doesn't apply unless these conditions are met. God has provided it, but what are the conditions? There is a response that we need to have. And that response, many people have referred to as conversion. So I'd like us to think about conversion tonight, our response to the good news. And the first thing to think about is the consequence of conversion. And that's just the idea that if you don't have it, you don't get salvation. If you do have it, if you do have conversion, if you do respond rightly, you do receive those benefits. And I'm going to refer to several different verses here tonight, but Matthew 18, verse 3, Jesus said this, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So that's a pretty big consequence here. Unless you are converted, you will not go to heaven. If you are converted, you will go to heaven. That's the consequence. It's an eternal consequence. Unless you respond in the right way, you will not go to heaven. Now, God has provided heaven. God has provided forgiveness of sins. But unless you respond in the right way, you will not go to heaven. So the consequence of conversion. Next, we see in the scripture that there is a combination in conversion. Consider the combination of conversion. Jesus identified for us what the response is that we need to have, that is conversion. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." So here we have this combination very clearly identified for us. Repent and believe. And those two things combined, that is conversion. Repent and believe. I ask you to turn to Acts chapter 3, and I want you to see this in the book of Acts, where Peter, in Acts chapter 3, is preaching. Peter and John, after they healed the lame man in the temple, they begin to preach about Christ. And then if you come down to verse 19, Peter brings things to a conclusion. And he says here, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And so Peter is explaining what the response is that these people need to have. And he says, repent and be converted. So that's one aspect of conversion. And then jump ahead with me to Acts chapter 10. Go to Acts chapter 10. Here we have Peter ministering to a Gentile for the first time, Cornelius. And he is explaining the gospel to Cornelius and his household. And we come down here to Acts 10:43. Peter is talking about Christ. And verse 42, "He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." You say, wait a minute. I thought back in Acts chapter 3, Peter was saying, repent and you'll receive remission of sins. And now he says in verse 43, "Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And which is it? Well, the scriptural answer is, conversion is a combination. A conversion is a combination. And so, has anybody ever here played heads or tails before? I have a coin. All right. Does anybody want to play it with me? Somebody? You have to call heads or tails. Isaac, heads or tails?
Tails.
Tails, okay. All right. Oh, it's heads. I'm sorry. All right, one more time. Let's do it again. What do you think? Heads? All right, you got it this time. All right, it's heads. Good. And, maybe you had a quarter here too, and I'm comparing this, and you say, well, my quarter has a head. And I say, well, my quarter has a tail. See, it's got a picture of a tree on it. It's a tail, right? Well, of course, a quarter has a head and a tail. You know, here's George. And on the other side, my quarter has a picture of the... some kind of tree from Connecticut, the charter oak. And, there's two sides to a quarter, but it's still one and the same. And so it is with conversion. There are two sides. The one side, belief. The other side, repent. But it's one response. It's one act of conversion. And the Bible speaks of it sometimes as believing and sometimes as repenting. But we see it as a combined response. And when we think about those two things together, we avoid a lot of errors. We avoid the error that some people would say, don't worry about repentance. Just come to the Lord and believe. And, repentance, that's an option for people down the road, for committed disciples of Christ. And, that's what you would call easy believism. But when we remember that conversion has two parts, it's a combination. We need both of those things for conversion, repentance and belief. Now, some people go the opposite extreme. They say, you have to repent, and you've got to sit there and repent a certain amount of time before you can even believe. And let's not even talk about believing until you've repented. Well, that's an error too, because we have to have both of these things. We got to have repentance and belief, and it's one response. It's a conversion. Now let's think about the components of conversion here. We've seen has a consequence. Either you go to heaven or you don't. We see it's a combination. And then let's think about each of these components here. First of all, faith. Faith, believing. Faith is being fully convinced and absolutely relying in its object. One statement of the Apostle Paul, I think, describes faith very well when he says in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Faith has absolute confidence in its object. We think about Abraham and that example of faith that he was. He believed God. He considered God's word to be reliable. He was persuaded about it. And then we see in the scripture that faith is a matter of both head and heart. Faith is a matter of both head and heart. There are things that you need to know. Jesus said in John 17:3, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." And so when we think about the good news, we must know certain things about Christ, that he, who he is, that he died in our place, that he was resurrected from the dead the third day, that he ascended to heaven and now lives to intercede for us. These are things that we must know. But these are things that we must believe in our hearts. It's a matter of both head and heart, as Romans 10:9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And we need to remember that believing is more than just knowing facts, although it has to start with that. It's depending on those facts, those true facts from the Lord with our hearts. I think one of the most important aspects of faith is the object of your faith. That's the most important aspect of faith. Jeremiah 17, verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." But verse 7 of Jeremiah 17, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." The object of your faith. Speaking of an object, I brought an object with me here tonight. And suppose that you are outside working on a hot summer's day. Maybe you're baling hay all day long. It's hot. It's like 90 degrees. It's dusty. And you are thirsty. And somebody comes up from the house and they say, "Here, I know you're thirsty, have a straw." All right, you say, "Oh, thanks, you know, that would be great." And so you get your straw out. Okay, here's some dust. Oh, that's so refreshing. You know, I got some dust in my mouth and now I'm ready to go. No, that's ridiculous. But what if somebody came out and they brought you a tall, ice-cold glass of lemonade, and they brought you a straw, and you took your straw, and you put it in the ice-cold lemonade, and you took a drink, and you were refreshed. See, the straw is like your faith. And what matters most of all about your faith is what your faith is in. What is your faith in? What's the object of your faith? Is it something that will truly provide refreshment? And so it is with the response of faith. What matters most of all is the object of your faith. And as Jeremiah says, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord." And conversion begins with faith in Christ. Your faith needs to be in Christ, where the refreshment is, where the source of salvation is. Faith, the most important thing about faith is the object of faith. Now let's think about repentance. Conversion involves faith. The conversion also involves repentance. Repentance is a change of direction in your life. One of the best examples of repentance is the Thessalonian believers. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, where Paul describes what they did. They themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And there we see a depiction of repentance, turning from idols to God. Maybe sometimes you get in the car and you're headed down the road somewhere, and all of a sudden you remember, I forgot. And usually it's my phone that I forget. I remembered it tonight. And say, all right, I got to turn around. Pull in the driveway, turn around, and start going back to the house because I got to get my phone. And so there again, we have a picture of repentance. It is a turning in life. The Bible teaches us that we can only be going one direction in life. We can either be following our sin, or we can be following God. And yes, that doesn't mean that we are going to be stopping our sin altogether, although we should be trying. We may still sin, but what is the direction of our life? Have we turned from our idols, from our sins, and are we following the Lord? That's repentance. And repentance, along with that, is certainly a recognition of the serious nature of your sin. Listen to Isaiah 55, verse 6. God says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." There we see the Lord encouraging people to repent, turning from their wicked ways. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. That's repentance, recognizing the serious nature of your sin. In closing, I want you to see an example of this. Would you turn to Acts chapter 19? Here we see the Apostle Paul again ministering in a Gentile town. He brings the gospel to the town of Ephesus. And here in Acts 19, we see a group of people who convert. They experience conversion. And notice what happens here. Now, Paul is casting out demons here and evil spirits. And we see what happens. People observing this come down to verse 17, Acts chapter 19. It says, "And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on all them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." And we see verse 18. "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." So we see here a picture of people that repented. Picture of people that believed on Jesus. And they turned away from those evil practices. They burned their books that were evil. They turned away and they're following the Lord now. That's conversion. We need to remember that these components are not ways to earn salvation. They are simple responses to the truth of the gospel. The Bible says that each one of these responses are gifts from the Lord, both repentance and faith. They are both given by God. And yet at the same time, we see the apostles and preachers of the Bible, and they are commanding people, "You folks need to believe. You need to repent." These are responses that each one of you need to have, to believe and to repent. And if we do not do that, if somebody does not do that, as Jesus said, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And so each one of us tonight needs to examine our hearts and ask ourselves, have I been converted? Have I responded in these ways? Am I fully convinced, persuaded, as Paul says, in the truth of God and of what Christ has done? Have I turned in my life from my sin? And each one of us needs to do that. Boys and girls, you need to do that too. Turn from your sin. Don't just carry along the same bad habits. Yeah, I know it's wrong, but I'm still doing it. It's not that big of a deal. No, it is a big deal. And God says, turn away from it and put your trust in Christ. That is conversion. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. And we pray that each one of us would be convinced of the truth of your word. Help us to turn away from sin in our lives and follow you. Lord, help us to make sure that we've done this, that we have been converted. Help us, even as Christians, to be continually turning from sin in our life and to be continually being persuaded of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would encourage us in this. Help us to see the reality that is here in your word. We pray as we come to the Lord's table that you would help our thoughts to be turned to Christ. Make sure that our faith has the right object, and that is Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.